Welcome to today's Immigration Hour podcast. This is your host, Charles Cook. It's great to be with you. I have kind of figured out the audio. Turns out our microphone's not working, and this is the camera audio, so I do apologize. By next week, we will have the new audio in place, and we'll be in good shape. But today's podcast is, I think this is a big deal. I think this is a big deal because I don't think anybody's paying attention to the point of where we are in the context of our overwhelming use of employment-based immigrant visas, so the EB visas. There was a lot said last week on the Twitter machine and elsewhere about the disaster that is the visa bullet, particularly for individuals from India, with a massive retrogression last month for July, back to 2009. But this is not a surprise to those of us who really understand how the visa bullet actually works. So I've been coming out with a blog that'll be a part of this podcast. It's called The Coming Apocalypse for Employment-Based Visas, and especially EB2 and EB3. But looking at the final action dates for EB visas for July 2029, we have India and January 1, 2009. We've got second preference January 1, 2011. But for the rest of the world, is now backlog February 2022 for EB3, February 2022, 15 February 15, 2022 for EB2. China remains backlog. The dates for filing also are now backlog, so there's no more concurrent filing with an I-140 for the rest of the world right now. So this is a disaster, right? This is the nightmare. I guess it's concurrent filing, but it's not going to get you anything as far as getting your case approved. And certainly rest of the world not going to be adjudicated in 3 months anymore like they have been over the literally part of this year. And the reason for this, I mean, the primary reason for the visa bullet and backlog in July 2023, remember, it's only three more months. It's now June. Today's June 14th. It's only 3.5 months left in the fiscal year, July, August, September. I have it on good word that the EB3 numbers for India are gone. There aren't any more, period. You will see no movement in EB3 for India. In fact, you might even see another retrogression for India. Probably not, but you might see that. But the rest of the world is quickly approaching their use of all the visas as well. So they will use all EB3s this year. There are no flow-throughs from within the category. So India has been relying on the, and in China have been relying on the flow through from rest of world to move their numbers forward in a more aggressive way, combined with the lack of family-based numbers that was caused by COVID and consulates not adjudicating family-based visas. That's where most family-based preference category visas are issued, at their consulates. So they didn't work for 2 years. Numbers got backlogged, the numbers increased. We sued, my colleagues and I in Impact Litigation sued, forced immigration to use the numbers. That was good. They still didn't use all of them, but it's the litigation clearly forced them to do their job. And this year, they have been adjudicating cases pretty quickly on EBs for the rest of the world. But India, and we still have some clients that should have been adjudicated 2 years ago in the numbers that were not. Now we're looking at January 1, 2009 EB3, January 1, 2011 for EB2 India, and then the rest of the world is backlogged. Let's understand why this is bad. All right, this is bad, but it's worse than you think it is. Yes, it's worse than you think it is. How Chuck? How could it possibly be worse than we think it is? All right, let's take a deep dive here. The U.S. immigration system is complex. Everybody knows that, right? Administrative incompetence, opaque release of information, the known massive backlog, all of those things have consequence on people's lives. But what nobody's paying attention to is the hidden demand that's not reflected in the visa bulletin. The reality is that as bad as July 2023 visa bulletin is, it does not reflect the actual reality of the current wait times, particularly for those starting now. not only for India and China, but for the rest of the world. The situation for employment-based immigrants is far more apocalyptic than virtually anyone imagines. Specifically, the visa bulletin does not account for the pending number of PERMs at the Department of Labor, the number of prevailing wage requests at the Department of Labor that turn into PERMs, or the pending number of I-140s at the USCIS that are unadjudicated. The visa bulletin simply reflects pending I-140 adjustment of status or consular processing cases, and is taking into account the number of cases that are already approved by the Immigration Service. But none of this future demand, which we know already exists, is accounted for. You also probably don't know, most people don't know this, but there are several businesses out there that are recruiting rest of the world workers through the EB-3 program, effectively using EB-3 as an H-1B, as you would normally use an H-1B for an Indian or a Chinese guy or anybody doing a professional job. For non-professional positions, there is no visa. The H-2Bs aren't a visa for example, like cooks at restaurants or busboys or construction workers. Those aren't H-2B jobs, generally speaking. So how do you get those guys here? Well, and gals, well, you do EB-3. So there is a massive misunderstood or not understood EB-3 usage out there that is causing a lot of the rest of the world issues here that now makes the backlog everybody's problem. So let's do a little more deeper dive. Everybody knows how labor certifications work. If you listen to this, you know how labor certification works. The pending number of labor certs at Department of Labor and availing wage requests has grown exponentially every single month. They are not keeping up with demand. There are tens of thousands of PERM labor certs pending and prevailing wage requests, tens of thousands of Department of Labor. So what this means is there's a far longer backlog than you understand. There's only 40,000 immigrant visas available each year in the EB-2 and in the EB-3 categories, including family members. We'll get into that in more detail in a second. So the EB-3 particularly is used by skilled workers, professionals, and other workers. EB-2 by advanced degree holders and national interest waivers. A lot of folks are trying to jump the line by doing an NIW, national interest waiver, and you're about to see that you're not going to be able to get a green card that way in any reasonable period of time because the rest of the world is going to be backlogged. So let's take a deep dive here. As of December 31, 2022, because USCIS has not released their second quarter numbers, even though we're almost at the end of the third quarter, as of that date, the USCIS had 381,757 approved EB-2 I-140s waiting for visa availability. Remember, that number does not reflect family. Okay, that's just the individuals that are waiting for visa availability. So let's go further. Of that 381,000, 351,436 are from India. There's also 126,784 approved EB-3 visas waiting for visa availability, and Indians account for 112,859 of those. Now, one key fact, a piece of information that immigration has never released, you know they know, but they haven't released it, is how many EB-2s have also downgraded to EB-3. Let's say, in other words, how many are there in each category? How many people are counting twice here that are really only one person? We don't know that. Let's set that thought aside for right now. There's a number of them, but they're not. But this is where opaqueness is a problem. Immigration does not publicly release the information for no known reason. There's no reason they don't do it. So in total, for India specifically, there's 462,000 Indian nationals with approved EB cases. And rest of the world accounts for somewhere around another 40,000 of that backlog between the EB-2 and EB-3 categories. Now, that's not how many use the 40,000 each year. We have to put the family multiplier. The family multiplier in this is that of basically 1.1. That's the number of family members on average from 2008. USA's released that information as part of the Congressional Research Service report in 2018, where 46% of the EB-1, EB-2, EB-3 issued were principals, and then 54% were derivatives. So it's about 1.1 That means there are actually 970,000 Indian immigrants waiting for visa availability and around 80,000 rest of the world immigrants. So basically 1,050,000 people waiting on basically 80,000 visas a year. So if you just, if there was a straight visa availability number and everybody and nobody else was added to that mix, it would be about an 11-year wait if you started today. But because of the 7% country limit and apply that, you have to do the math. Indians are getting around 5,600 between both EB categories, about 5,600 visas a year in a good year, okay, with no flowdown. That means because there's 970,000 Indians waiting for visas with no change to numbers, with no change to visa availability, that's 173-year wait for a green card if you apply today and you're from India. Now, I wrote a blog back in 2009, basically analyzing this same data. And here's what I wrote, quote, India EB3, from 2009, this is 14 years ago. India EB3 wait for permanent residents for labor certifications filed today is 15.8 years. And what is the visa availability date for EB3 today? 2009. Prescient, no? I'm not going to say I'm prophetic, but I made a pretty good guess at the time because math doesn't lie. This generous estimate comes from the fact that at the time, there were 399,717 Indian nationals waiting for the visas that were available each year. That estimate completely ignored the immigration of family-based immigrants and all that and all those data. So it's 15 years. It turns out my estimate was about right. But this prescience is foreboding when we look at the current numbers. That's the good news. 15 years is good news for India. The bad news is what follows. Every lawyer I know is complaining that the Department of Labor is taking forever to adjudicate permit applications, which at one time they promised to do in a few days, and which they did do in a few days. And even longer to process prevailing wage requests that are the first key part of the perm process. Of course, virtually no one is bringing litigation on this, despite our best efforts to try to get people to litigate. But what is the impact of these delays? Let's look at the numbers. According to the DOL website, perms filed in November 2022 are being worked right now. What does that mean numerically? While DOL does not release the total number of cases pending, the number is calculable. We can do a little calculation, do a little bit of math. I went to law school, not math school, but I can do a little math. From their monthly requests received, determinations issued report, simply adding all the cases filed since July 2022 as unadjudicated, because they say they're working on June 2022, gives us 70,000 pending perm cases. Just remember, these are principles. And then add, so the ones that are published, because they only have through April numbers. Let's assume they're 15,000 in May and June. And so now we have 132,000 pending perms at the Department of Labor. Wow. That does not include those filed that were in 2022. We all know those exist. There are people that prior to 2022 they haven't done. So 132,000. Now, add to those pending perms. Now, if you did the calculator, that's about 250,000, 260,000 people. Now, add to those pending perms the pending prevailing wage requests. It gets a little tricky. But let's simply take the pending perms that are averaging more prevailing wage requests from the Department of Labor website that are averaging more than 15,000 filing a month as a starting point. The Department of Labor has disclosed only the data that they are working on prevailing wages from November 2022 for those submitted through the online system and September 2022 for those not using that system. So that means for the last 7 months, there are another 105,000 pending prevailing wage requests. Almost all of them are going to become perms. Now you take those two numbers together, you get about 237,000 pending cases at the Department of Labor that will all come into the USCIS system in the next year. And again, There's only about, you know, 36,000 actual visas a year, you know, add the family for the 80,000. And using the multiplier, that's basically 437,000 immigrant visas for what are 80,000 available annually. So just in the next 12 months, Department of Labor is sitting on five more years of EB backlog. Now that doesn't, you know, so if you're an Indian national, you file today your prevailing wage request, who knows? Maybe it's 200 years before you get a green card. But that's not the end of the math, because there's more math here. USCIS has a role to play. The most recent report from USCIS on their pending cases, again, from Q1 fiscal year 2023, none of these agencies are releasing real-time data, and I don't have any idea why. What are they hiding? USCIS does not break down I-140s by category on their report on pending cases. So they just say I-140s. But they say that there are 48,022 pending I-140 petitions on December 31, 2022. The best guess that is 80% of those are for EB2s and EB3s. Seems like a rational guess, which gives us 38,418 pending I-140s, presumably all with prior dates within the last 24 months. The multiplier gives us 80,677,000 immigrant visa cases, including in that number. Now we have a realistic view of how many cases are actually pending at USIS and what this means for the visa bulletin going forward. Anecdotal evidence suggests that there are statistically higher numbers of rest of the world cases, included in the pending PERMs, billing wages, pending I-140s, than has historically been the norm. Now, if you go back to when I was a young lawyer, there was very long wait times for EB3 for the rest of the world. They existed back in the day. And then they went away for a decade, and now they're back. So they're back because people are using EB3s as a visa to come to the United States, as their mode of immigrating to the United States. So they're abroad and having U.S. employers sponsor them. We're seeing this for chicken processors. We're seeing it for construction workers. We're seeing it in the restaurant industry. We're seeing it for nurses, obviously, in which we have a massive demand. We're seeing it everywhere. So add all these numbers together, the backlog in PERM labor certs, the backlog in prevailing wage requests, the backlog in pending I-140 petitions. Compare that to the limited number of EB2s and EB3s available. It becomes evident that starting the PERM process today, you are, regardless of where you're from, you're in for a lengthy wait. My guess is 3 to 4 years at best. If you're rest of the world, maybe 5 years. Let's take a little bit better numbers. It appears that a wait time actually for a PERM rest of the world applicant, an EB3 will likely be 10 years. Look at the current numbers and anecdotally look at the information before they become eligible for consular processing adjustment if they're outside the United States. For those individuals from high demand countries like India and China, the wait times are especially higher. Now, China backlog has shrunk over the last 6 years, mainly, honestly, because the Trump administration, the Biden administration, has been issuing visas, student visas to Chinese nationals. The numbers have decreased. And that has increased the number of Indian nationals as a percentage of the EB2s and EB3s. Now, the math gets us to the hard truth that there will shortly be an additional 518,377 pending immigrant visa applicants waiting for visa availability on top of the 1,500,000. That means 1.5 million people waiting in the EB2 and EB3 categories, who many of whom are already working in the United States, whom the U.S. employers approved are not taking jobs from U.S. citizens, or who persons or immigrations in the national interest. And even if we lift per country limits, that number then becomes a 19-year wait for everybody. It is a wait that is now dissuading immigrants that we desperately need, and certainly bodes poorly over the next decade for the U.S. economy. It's also extraordinarily unfair to everyone, regardless of country of birth. In short, our employment-based system sucks and must urgently be fixed. Now, the obvious solution is for Congress to make a lot more immigrant visa numbers available, or setting a maximum period for waiting in the EB lines no more than a few years. The Dignity Act does that. Proposals like increasing the cap, modernizing PERM, improving efficiency, they go a short way in resolving the problem. But this is no longer an India-China versus rest of the world issue. people like me saw this coming several years ago when there was a fight about getting rid of per country limits, which is a perfectly fine solution if the numbers are available to immigrants are adequate. But changing the limits, which many argue are unfair, and I understand that argument, no longer serve a purpose, because they will only have the effect of making everybody's wait longer. The fight is now for the whole world, not just the rest of the world. It's time for all immigrant organizations to come together and fight for sensible change that benefits immigration. And the U.S. and the dividing of groups against each other is a recipe for disaster. Without these joint efforts, and until such are implemented, employers are really planning for the immigration apocalypse. Now, I will say this. It is time to get rid of per country limits. If we increase these numbers, or we put a cap on the wait times, because those things work together to ensure that there is not an unreasonable period of time for people to wait. Now, 10 years is ridiculous. It's stupid to say you can be in the United States, you can work here for 10 years, and then you're not going to make, what? Why isn't five? Why isn't it 3 years? Why isn't it 1 year? Why isn't it immediate if you already show there's no qualified U.S. workers? The reality is our economy needs jobs. This isn't about U.S. employers, you know, taking advantage of foreign nationals and keeping wages down. All that is proven, factually proven to be garbage. None of that is actually true. None of that's true. I get calls every day from employers who are desperate. They can't grow their businesses. They can't even staff their current business. They have to close certain days. They have to close at night because they can't staff it. They don't have bodies. Our economy keeps creating jobs. You know, yo, Joe Biden, you're doing it. But where are you in, for example, saying we no longer counting family members? They can do that. That's an interpretation of the law. We don't count them for H-4s. Why are we counting them for EBs? Doesn't make any sense. The same language in the statute. So this is where we are. The immigration apocalypse is upon us. Let's get all the groups together. Let's get AILA, immigrants list, tech workers groups. Let's get together and put it forward a proposal with these numbers. Let's show Congress the actual numbers. This is what we're looking at. I mean, there are lots of tails that are going to wait 100. Now we have numbers that show what the wait is. How does this make any sense? Now, your problem, of course, is Republicans control the House, and they're not going to pass any legislation that benefits immigrants. They're just not. You've got to attach this as a rider to a spending bill somehow that's must pass. You've got to do it. It's our only chance. So we'll keep fighting. We have our AILA conference up this next week, so I'll be out next week. I won't do a blog for next week. I'll be back from the AILA conference. Maybe we'll have some news. Maybe her and Chidu will show up and ask us to talk to her again before we sue her. You're not talking, Erdu. You're not responding. All right, everybody. Again, this is the Immigration Hour. Let's Chuck Cook to be with you. We'll be with you next week, in 2 weeks, back with more podcasts.